You straight up cuckooed that dude, bro. Oh my God.
You've got all your Charger gear on because
I look good.
I got big energy every day.
Let's go!
And he is dicked.
Blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
That's right.
You have to love what you're seeing on tape if you're a Chargers fan, especially for the future with Justin Herbert.
On the move and throws and touchdown.
Players, coaches, staff, fans, together we can create something truly special.
Stay tuned for some good content.
Well, hey there, hi there, ho there, folks. Welcome back to the Charger Chat. I'm your co-host, Wooldog, sitting with my buddies, Kev Hug and Duggan.
We did it. We did it. We did it.
It happened. It happened. Let's not forget Kyle, the coach, Duggan.
We did it, and I'm glad it's done. We don't have to talk about this anymore, think about it anymore, speculate anymore.
We will definitely be talking about it still. We got to talk about the results, but there's no more guessing games. There's no more looking in the tea leaves, rubbing crystal balls, flipping tarot cards. We're done with that.
We know what we have, yeah.
We know what we finally have now. We know what kind of ground we're standing on. And it was, you know, it was nerve-wracking not really knowing what was going to happen. Those of you that listened to our round one instant reaction saw the roller coaster of emotions. You saw Raw Hug and Duggan, and it was wild though, because again, like, we don't know what's going to happen in the draft. We all have our speculations on who we're going to pick and what we, you know, what holes need to be filled, but until it actually happens, you don't know. You don't know who is going to fall to us, or if we're going to make any moves, what's going to happen. But we made zero moves,
none,
which was also kind of surprising. It's been a while since we've seen zero moves.
It was beautiful.
And we drafted all the guys, you know, assumingly all the guys that we wanted. So it looks like a great draft class. Let's just take a look at it right now. Round one, as everybody knows, Rashawn Slater.
I called
that's
it.
Our boy.
I called it. That was my number one. I had this sneaking suspicion that he was going to fall to us. I didn't know why. I don't know how it happened, but it happened. And I couldn't. Everyone is so thrilled with this pick. It was an area of need and the best available. Like, how often does that align like that? You know what I mean?
When you're drafting at pick 13, that does not happen. You have to be up in like the top five spot to guarantee that you get the guy that you want. So
yeah,
getting Rashawn Slater was absolutely huge. And then another pick that a lot of people were talking about as, you know, wanting and filling a need was Asante Samuel Jr. Again, just a massive get in that cornerback spot, you know, one that we knew that we needed.
Well, and one thing I want to bring up that I was looking at, like, it's very interesting that Asante Samuel, people give him a hard time for his height. He's just a shorter guy, you know, not that 6 foot. That's maybe why he fell. He doesn't have the underwear Olympics measurables that you need. But Casey Hayward wasn't over 6 feet tall. He was a Pro Bowler. Like, I'm kind of over this idea that he's not going to be a good player because he's a little too short. Like, the guy is a stud. Mm-hmm. The guy is an absolute stud.
Yeah, big time. And I think, honestly, like, we're not necessarily needing him to be tall. As we've talked about from Staley and what it is that he wants to do with this defense, he's looking for that more man-to-man coverage. And he's got the speed more than anything else to stay in speed with these, you know, these fast wide receivers and keep them covered. So,
He plays a lot bigger than he is.
He's
so aggressive.
He's very aggressive, very vicious with his play style, for sure. Anybody that watches any of his highlight tapes can see that. And then we started going off of what we were expecting or hoping to get. Not necessarily a bad thing, just was confusing as it started to happen. We got Joshua Palmer, wide receiver out of Tennessee. Great player. I mean, if looking at his
highlight
tape, wasn't
on anyone's radar at all.
Mm-mm. So to get a wide receiver, especially at pick three, I mean, at that point, you start to kind of guess that, okay, we're now taking best player available, at least in their eyes, as far as what they've judged to be the case. So,
by all, you know, you go back and what I've seen everyone say about him is that he is, you know, he played amazingly against some of the top cornerbacks that went in the first round. Like, he owned all these guys. And
that's
the quarterback play that maybe didn't do him, you know, service as much as it probably could have. But I mean, they love what he's capable of doing, and it's exciting. You watch his tape. You know, I had no idea who he was. He wasn't on my radar. I went back and watched some of his highlights. I'm pretty excited.
Big time.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I think that Josh Palmer pick to me was kind of a I don't know. It's like any of these middle round guys, third, fourth, fifth round guys. It's like that you have to just trust your GM because we don't know enough about him. We're fans. We're watch tape here and there, but we're watching first round picks. That's who we're like trying to scout.
Right.
And then when we do our little mocks, we look for some guys that might fall in the third, but this guy was on no one's radar. I don't know if he's going to be good. I'm trusting that he will be and hoping for the best, but like, I can't say that was a bad pick. We don't know. You just don't know yet. So don't get too upset. Obviously they thought that was best available. Cause in my opinion, wide receiver is not a need, and especially not that kind of wide receiver. He's not like that Waddle, that quick, well, just get him the ball and let him run around type of receiver. So to me, that was a very bizarre pick, but you just have to sit back and see what happens.
Oh, and I think something you were saying yesterday, Kyle, that I found fascinating is like the two guys that we got, Asante Samuel and Rashawn Slater, we would have prepared to trade up to get those guys. So in like this crazy world, like, those third rounds were house money. We were playing with house money a little bit. Cause in my mind, we got the two guys I was willing to give up way more for. So if these guys can land, I thought that was a good, you know, positive view on it.
Yeah. And you're right. You know, to have nine picks, you think, okay, we've got some extras. Maybe we'll, you know, trade some away to move up to get some of the guys that we wanted because we're already dealing with more, you know, our cup floweth over with picks right now. So, you know, we can play around, but we didn't have to. Like, we, especially in those first two rounds, you didn't have to, and you still got the guys that you wanted. So, yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it.
I think there was this thing, like, overall feeling was that, oh my God, first and second round, we're the best team in the NFL. And then the third round came, and the vibes changed a little bit. Like, everyone got a little sour and a little down note with some of these picks. Cause, you know, like Kyle was saying, like the third round, like it's out of our hands. Like they're looking at tape and they're projecting what these guys exactly could be, as opposed to us watching tape of like guys doing awesome against Chase Young or any of these guys. You know what I mean? So I think it's a wait and see deal. The one that was I was kind of bummed about was that Trey McKitty pick. Just because just before that, our boy Tommy was available. So apparently they're very similar. Craig was talking a little bit about it the other day, and he's saying they're basically the same player, blocking tight end that as capable of catching, and they just didn't utilize him. So it's like, I don't know, we'll see.
Well, still also just interesting, you know, if they are very similar in play style, that Tommy Telesco wouldn't lean towards that Notre Dame pick that we are so used to seeing every year. That if they are basically,
he went ninja on us, dude.
Yeah.
Even when we're certain he's going to pick the Notre Dame with the same name as him,
right,
he ninjas us.
He does.
I think he was a good ninja. To circle around, I thought he was a very good ninja in this draft.
Absolutely.
Very patient, very calm, hid in the shadows, and then attack.
Yeah. I think when you're talking about picks three on and fans getting, you know, sour or moods going down, I think it was just we weren't expecting the picks that started to happen. And honestly, better for that to happen in rounds three on than in those first two rounds. Like, if we pick somebody weren't expecting in that first or second round with somebody like Rashawn.
As the Raiders, bro.
Yeah, oh, Jesus.
Leatherwood in the first.
God,
first
good Raiders.
Before Darisaw, like, they're, what a dumpster fire.
Exactly. Sorry. So, yeah. So, better for that to happen from the third round on than in those first two, when you're like, okay, we see these guys. We know that we need them, and we know that we want them. So, you better ding-dang pick them or else.
Well, and it's those first two rounds. Those are starters. You know what I mean? Right. Those are guys that are going to come in and play right away. Those three, you know, round three and on, that's special teams and that's developing guys. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the third round picks and fourth round picks is what we've kind of been worried about with Telesco. Like, that's what he's been criticized as lately. Like, he's hitting home runs in the first round generally, and he does well early on. But then those middle round picks, they just haven't seemed to pay off lately. So then when you put that along with these guys that were nowhere on anyone's real radar, it's got to pay off. It's got to start. They got to start to hit here for Tommy T.
Well, Now, here's the thing that I'll say about that, which is a little bit earlier than I wanted to talk about, but you brought it up. So I think it's good. It's good conversation. You're talking about guys not hitting. If we were just talking about that draft class of 2017, where the only guy that we have left is Mike Williams, everybody else has gone to another team. The point of that is everybody went on to another team. All those guys are good players. They're, you know, they just didn't fit the scheme that we've now changed after going from one coach to another. So that was a fantastic, I mean, if those guys are all still playing in the NFL, that's a fantastic draft. Like, not every team can say that all the players that they drafted in 1 year are still playing in the NFL. Some of those guys get dropped off or cut or something like that. So I think, if anything, that draft class year is a testament to Tommy and his ability to pick players that are going to continue their NFL career, not necessarily with us.
I love how shamelessly positive you are, Adam. I love it. I'm all about it.
I don't know how you could argue that any other way. Like, they are all good players that are playing for different teams now and filling their holes, not necessarily ours.
Whoa, bro.
Filling holes here. I agree. It's just, that's 1 year.
Exactly.
So that's one draft class. Yeah, he did well. I think everyone would say he did a good job that year. There just has been some criticism of what he's done in the third and fourth round. Yeah. And this, I think that's why some of the fan base got upset and was like, what happened? Who?
Yeah.
Because now you hit that third round and names start coming out of nowhere and you're like, Tommy T, Ninja. Yeah,
hey. So, time has, let some time pass. Let these guys play some time before we start casting doubt and criticism on some of these players. But to get through the rest of this draft class, after Trey McKitty, we got Chris Rumpf, the second, who seems like
explosive. We dipped in the third, and then when we came back here, people were like ecstatic.
Yeah.
Because this guy has definitely an edge. We need an edge. Yep. We need somebody that can get to the quarterback, and he's put up really good tape in college. Big time. That's exciting.
Yeah. Chris Rumpf, linebacker, edge player. Then Brendan Hymus, another lineman. You know, we talked about it. If we wanted to double dip in this draft, we better get ourselves another lineman, and we sure enough did. This guy is a mountain of a man.
And he's a ginger.
He is a ginger.
Ginger lineman.
That's very true.
I like those. It's a rare breed for sure.
The stat that I came across for him was that his whole 2019 season played every snap, allowed zero sacks. Like, come on. Like, that kind of talent in the fourth round. Please, yeah. Pretty pleased with sugar on top.
I was happy with that one.
Big time. And then we saw Nick Neiman get picked up after that.
I like this one too. That guy flies around.
Yeah, no, watching his
tape. They clearly went like very athletic. They mm-hmm. You look at these guys kind of like the RAS scores and like they're all like kind of elite level athletes. Like it's really quick, really fast guys. And that's kind of cool that they went that direction. But this guy was great. And apparently his brother plays in for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So they've been going back at it back and forth a little bit. So that was kind of cool.
I like that. Yeah. They'll get to see each other twice a year. Then this was the one that, I mean, in retrospect, I kind of get it. But when you first see it, you're just like, excuse me, is Larry Roundtree III, running back out of Mizzou. So, Kev, you had a chance to hear at least a little bit about him.
I've seen him live. I watched him play a couple times. He's a good running back. He was like one of the highlights on that Mizzou team. Mm-hmm. He's a good hard runner. I think he's going to be a big asset. This is such a late pick, though. This is a guy, this is a practice squad possibility thing.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a competition. I think Justin Jackson is going to start, you know, he's going to become the expensive guy in a year. Mm-hmm. So you need to look at, you know, if he doesn't have production this year, you need to have a guy ready and being there. And I think he's solid. Yeah. The games I saw him play, it was fun to watch.
Yeah. And the thing that I've heard about him filling in this team need right now is special teams as a possibility. So,
They cleaned house on special teams players this draft,
exactly.
For sure.
A lot of these late round picks feel like they're going to be more special teams than anything else, which is fine. That's where we need. Those are still holes that we need to fill as well. And then lastly, we picked up Mark Webb in round seven. He's a cornerback and seems to be a great player as far as looking at his highlight reel as well. So
another special teamer that could special work teamer, in his way into the defense.
Absolutely, that could fit right into that spot. So all in all, you know, round three on were more confusing than anything else because we didn't understand why the picks were being made. But in retrospect, hindsight being 2020, you look at this draft class, you're like, damn. Like, to get all of these guys without having to necessarily make any moves, didn't give away any picks. You utilized every pick that we've got to pick up fresh talent, I think is awesome. I think this is a
great... Kevin said, after the first two, everything else is just like a cherry on top.
Right.
We got Asante Samuel and Rashawn 1-2 without having to move anything. And I mean, that's an A that's in the draft.
That secured your A, 100%. Yeah. You're seeing everyone's grades on us, and that's a lot of picks to analyze, but everyone's still giving us A, and I think it's because of what happened in the first two rounds, because that's insane that we got two areas of need at best available. It's just kind of nuts how that worked out.
Big time. Yeah, those are absolutely huge. I mean, you know, those that are analyzing our draft are giving us A's. But looking also at Twitter, there's a lot of people that had stuff to say about the picks that we made. Evan Silva said Northwestern left tackle Rashawn Slater slipping to 13 is dream scenario for the Chargers. Penei Sewell and Slater were considered to be in a tier of their own in the offensive line class. Drop off after them. Bolts offensive line can have big turnaround after signing left guard Matt Filer and center Corey Linsley and stealing Slater.
I love it. And then the one that was really interesting is from Mitchell Schwartz from the Chiefs. He said, tried mentioning, so apparently Chiefs fans got, you know, clapped at him for this one. I tried mentioning to Chiefs fans that it sucks for them the Chargers drafted Slater, aka had a top player at a position of need fall to them and correctly picked him and got ridiculed. We barely beat them in Herbert's first ever start when he wasn't supposed to be playing. Yep. Thank you for acknowledging. Finally, somebody acknowledges how damn good Herbert is and how scary this offense is becoming. It's cool to see other players say stuff like that.
Big time. Yeah, that's... Chargers are on the shit end of the stick every time when it comes to getting any kind of praise, you know, minus the offseason. The offseason is when they're like, oop, Chargers looking pretty scary, looking pretty nasty. And then it never really pans out in the regular season sometimes. So at least this is looking back at a prior season and going, yeah, dude, Justin Herbert just about kicked y'all's butts and definitely did that second game. So so deal with it. Looking at the Asante Samuel Jr. pick, Jalen Ramsey piped up saying, yeah, this one is one of my favorite picks. Happy for y'all, Derwin James, and I'm assuming that's Asante Samuel Jr.'s tag, God's Child 3. First dinner out here on me when Rook get in town, LOL. that's good praise coming from someone like Jalen Ramsey for sure.
Yeah.
Trevor Sikkema, Chargers getting Rashawn Slater and Asante Samuel is elite drafting. And then looking at Joshua Palmer, CBS Sports HQ had this to say, one of the most underrated wide receiver prospects in the entire 2021 NFL draft. Like, I don't know where that's coming from because all anybody was ever talking about was Ja'Marr Chase, Jaylen Waddle. For Joshua Palmer...
Well, he's underrated for sure. Yeah. I've never even heard of the guy. Yeah.
I guess so.
Even if he's okay, he's still underrated.
Right. I guess so. Yeah. So, but I mean, again, that feels like a steal. I mean, everything that people are saying about our players feels like we just stole the entire middle part of the draft.
Yeah, we'll see.
100%.
Let's see. So, Trey McKitty, Dan Popper had this to say. I think the Chargers should take a tight end with one of their two third-round picks, but I get the feeling they're going to wait on this option. They have Jared Cook on a one-year deal and are really high on Donald Parham. The Chargers need some run-blocking juice in the tight end room, and McKitty will provide that. He is fluid and athletic, 6'4", 246 pounds, with the traits to develop into a solid pass-catching option as well. I mean, again, like tight end always, it didn't feel like a big need. It felt like that tight end room was already pretty crowded as he was talking about there. So when that pick came in, I know that we were kind of looking at Tommy Tremble, but still it just didn't feel like, I don't know, for me, it didn't feel like a need, but I guess you're investing in the future with Jared Cook only being on a one-year deal and needing more and tight end space.
They saw the value in round 5, and so they took the shot. I mean, yeah, we got a one-year deal on Cook. He'll be gone after that. Parham is still kind of a project. Don't really know exactly. He's a great pass catcher, but so yeah, we'll see. I think it was they're going for their value picks, and so
let's see. Chris Rumpf, Gavino Borges had this to say: "I just love the way Chris Rumpf plays. All gas, no breaks. An ascending talent who has the traits to be productive in the NFL. One of my favorite picks thus far."
I love to hear. This is another one of those guys that is like slightly undersized. So this is like the slightly undersized draft for the Chargers. Like he's this kind of tweener guy, but he is very good off the edge. He gets after the quarterback. He's extremely productive, but it's like people are, all these guys that we've gotten have been put into a box. Like it's Rashawn Slater's arms aren't long enough. It's Asante Samuel Jr.'s not quite tall enough. And similar here, he's just not big enough to be, you know, on the edge. He's a tweener guy. So I think we just got lucky on picking up a lot of these guys because they were overlooked just for the, you know, underwear Olympics numbers.
Right. Yeah. Watching his tape, he certainly seems explosive. Brendan Hymus, Chris Harry had this to say: Hymus set a Nebraska school record with 40 consecutive starts by an offensive lineman. Another Big Ten O lineman headed to Los Angeles. I mean, for Chargers, health is always a concern. And we need guys that can stay on the field. So as long as Hymus can stay durable through his NFL career, that would be pretty special.
Sign me up. We need it. We needed a lot of offensive linemen because there was an exodus, as we all know, of our previous lineman room. We need some new bodies, and it's good to see somebody that has had that much productivity, that many consecutive games. It was exciting.
Big time. Yeah, we addressed it in free agency, so we've got some good veteran talent in there, but now getting some fresh talent in there, like Rashawn, like Brendan, I think it's exciting for this offensive line for next year, absolutely. So then for Nick Neiman, Math Bomb had this to say about him. Nick Neiman was drafted with pick 185 of round 6 in the 2021 draft class. He scored a 9.51 RES out of a possible 10. This ranked 107 out of 2,155 linebackers from 1987 to 2021. So for those that don't know, the RAS score, that's like their measurables and everything, right?
I think it takes them all into account and it compares them against other people. So he's an athlete. Those numbers show he's absolutely an athlete.
Yeah, so for this guy to be on the just barely out of the top 100 out of all linebackers since 1987, and to get this guy all the way deep into the sixth, I mean, that sounds like somebody that can at least be productive on this team and hopefully show up. I mean, the guy just seems totally fast and just gets in there.
The whole bottom, the last three picks that we had were all special team guys.
Yes.
I think he's going to kill it on special teams. Our linebackers are pretty deep. Obviously, you want depth at every position in case someone gets hurt. And maybe he can fill into one of those spots in a pinch. But I think he's going to be a special teamer and do a damn good job.
For sure. And can definitely fill in on that depth. And then for Fernando Ramirez, I guess, talked to Nick Neiman. And Nick Neiman said, we get to get after each other a bit about playing against his brother, Ben, who is a Kansas City Chief. He adds, hopefully I can beat him up a little bit. I don't know.
Nice.
How that's. Yeah, that's going to be pretty exciting. That's almost on that same line of when we were playing against the Texans and we still had Derek Watt going up against JJ. Like, we're getting some of that family rivalry back a little bit.
This could be more fun because this could be them on special teams running full speed at each other. So that collision could be way more fun to watch.
I can only imagine two Duggan brothers running at each other, throwing some Neiman blood.
It happened. My shoulder's still sore. It was an accident, but our competitive juices, when we get together, when we start, you know, we're at a bachelor party, we start doing that, it just kind of happens. So it
just, everything just kind of happens.
Just happens.
All right.
Shit happens.
You don't have any face tattoos, so I'm proud of you guys for that.
Yet. One more day.
Let's see. And then in regards to Larry Roundtree, Zone Tracks had this to say. Larry Roundtree played in the CFB's toughest conference and finished with over 4,000 yards of offense and 40 rushing touchdowns. Sounds pretty damn productive.
It was a big part of that Mizzou and why they were decently fun to watch. I'm on board with this. So, you know, if you need to pick up a running back, like, I at least know who he is. So that's a good thing.
Big time. And then finally, Mark Webb, Dan Popper reported that Nasir Adderley and Mark Webb grew up together in the Philly area. Mark Webb said, "That's my brother." So
fun.
Another nice little connection there between, yep, between players, and to both be in the secondary like that, that's going to be pretty special bringing him up into the Charger team. So those were what people had to say about our draft picks. As far as grades, everybody seems to be giving us pretty much an A. I haven't seen anything lower than that, honestly. And then looking at our undrafted free agency signings, let's see, we've got ourselves a wide receiver, Eli Stove, Kyle Spaulding, offensive tackle, Ryan Langren, long snapper, Amen Ogbonbamiga,
yes,
who is a linebacker out of Oklahoma State.
I hope he makes the team just so the commentators have to struggle through that every week.
That's a great name. I'd love to see that on the back of a jersey. Ben DeLuca, Ogbonbamiga.
You say it very well. Good job, Bulldog.
I practiced it about 20 times before getting on here just to make sure. Then we have Ben DeLuca, safety out of Charlotte. Darius Harper, offensive line out of Cincinnati. Forrest Merrill, defensive tackle out of Arkansas State. Hunter Campmoyer, another tight end out of Oregon.
Little connection with
our, I was gonna say,
little,
yeah,
connection with our boy, yeah.
Might be a familiar target, at least for Herbert to get familiar with.
Yeah, Herbert posted it on his Instagram story.
Oh, did he?
Yeah,
oh, perfect.
So he's,
okay,
he's pumped about it.
Nice. Alex Kessman, kicker out of Pittsburgh. And Jared Goldwire, defensive tackle out of Louisville.
How many kickers do we currently have on our roster?
All of them.
Yeah, it's like if you're Badgley, you got to be like, wow, they really are concerned about my position.
I mean, how could they not be? All you have to do is look at his performance last year. You can't argue with that. You can't go like, yeah, I did pretty good last year after missing 70% of your kicks or something like that. Like, that's, you can't say that. I know he didn't miss 70%, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
it
felt like it. Yeah. I mean, for the games that we lost, especially. So yeah, you got to have competition in there. And if they feel
lots
that he can still do the job, great. But yeah, you got to bring in somebody like Alex Kessman, who apparently did pretty well out of Pittsburgh, well enough that we're bringing him in.
I look, they basically were saying that he's really good outside of 50. Like, his percentage is really, like, abnormally high from outside of 50 yards, which we'll take because that's not Badgley's sweet spot.
Not lately. I mean, the guy can't do kickoffs, so might as well get some guy that's good at kicking 50 yards or more. All right, folks. Well, if you'll indulge me for a little bit, we need to talk about our sponsor again. This is from Mindful Health, LLC. We need to talk about our Cacao Bliss.
Cacao!
That's right, folks. If you listened to the podcast last week, you'll know that I am a big fan of this Cacao Bliss.
Cacao!
I wasn't necessarily sure. Well, yeah, there you go. I wasn't necessarily sure what to expect. I know that cacao is basically, it's cocoa. It's just processed a different way, and I'm on a keto diet myself, so I need to make sure that I try to find chocolate, because I got a big sweet tooth, folks. I can't help myself. I got to find chocolate in a way that doesn't affect my diet in a negative way. So finding Cacao Bliss was really fortunate for myself. I'm able to add it to my shakes. I can make myself a cup of hot cacao. And it is delicious, I got to tell you. And it's a superfood. They've got like a bunch of different ingredients in here. You're looking at turmeric, MCT oil, coconut, Himalayan sea salt, cinnamon, which is delicious mixed with cacao.
Cacao!
Black pepper. All of these in this Cacao Bliss.
Cacao!
And it's absolutely delicious. I can't recommend it enough. Go to earthechofoods.com/minutemedia. Again, earthechofoods.com/minutemedia, and put in the code MINUTE15. Save yourself 15% on your order of Cacao Bliss. If you're like me, you're on a keto diet, you're looking for chocolatey ways to indulge yourself without ruining your diet, Cacao Bliss is absolutely the way to go.
Cacao!
All right, folks, and now it's time to move on over to Coach's Corner.
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
All comes down to today.
You take this helmet and you put it right in his numbers, okay? I want to see nothing but snot bubbles in his nose.
A lot of people want to blame coaches for a lot of things.
Nobody puts coaches
in his
corner.
We shut them down because we can't.
It's because I believed in you.
And I wish I could say something that was classy and inspirational, but it just wouldn't be our style.
Let's do it.
All right, so for Coach's Corner, we've reached into our bag of Ask Bolt Fam, and we've pulled out a question from DL505. Congratulations. Coach is going to take a look at your question, and we'll analyze it a little bit here. And your question goes as such. Are we in the shit for our depth at safety? LA Rams had six safeties on their roster in 2020. We're at four. Any free agent targets to fill this gap?
Yeah, there's definitely some free agents that we could go after. Now, the idea of having six safeties on your roster, it's depending on what you're trying to do with the defense. And something that was interesting going into this draft is we've seen a Brandon Staley defense before, but we've never seen a Brandon Staley defense where he has like a significant amount of say in personnel. You know, like I'm sure he had some input as a defensive coordinator with the Rams, but he's only there 1 year. He didn't really get to build the roster that he wanted to. So it was kind of handed it to him. So in that aspect, don't say, hey, they have six, we have four, we're not going to be a good defense. I do think, though, it brings to light the idea that we're still a little bit thin at that position. And there's not really the standout that we're really excited about. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, but Nasir Adderley is in a position where he has to have a big year. So I think that I do think there are some free agents. For me, Malik Hooker, we talked about it a couple of weeks. He was with the Colts. He got hurt. He's now still a free agent, kind of sitting out there. This would be his second deal. So maybe get him on a 1 year COVID deal. But it does bring up a good point. We probably need another guy there. We're obviously, based on the draft, very confident in Nasir Adderley's ability to play safety. So I think it'll get addressed, but it kind of depends on how big of a name that we try to go get and how much of that available cap we're ready to put into it.
Right, because we did pick up Ben DeLuca as the undrafted free agent. So that's at least one more body in that safety category. When it comes time to the start of the season, if we are still sitting at the same amount of safeties, do you foresee that being an issue going into the season with not as many safeties comparatively to at least what the Rams had available last year?
Well, I think most teams in the NFL have a decent amount of safeties because that's who plays your special teams a lot. So it does adjust to your depth, but you only have two safeties on the field most of the time.
Right.
So to stockpile, especially big name guys to sit on the bench, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I could see us maybe picking up one more or maybe seeing if one of these undrafted free agent guys pays off. That might be it seems like Coach Daly is very confident in his defensive back coaching staff to develop these guys into players.
And he's made mention before, at least on some of the defensive backs that we've picked up, on how versatile some of these players can be,
right,
that he looks for that in players to make sure that they are capable of playing more than one position. So some of these guys, even though they're labeled as a defensive back, doesn't necessarily mean that they're confined to that role. They might come in and start playing some of those safety positions. Do you foresee that being a hindrance, or do you foresee that being, like, if they're able to truly do it well,
yeah,
is that something to look forward to?
Yeah, and that, well, absolutely. If they're able to do it well, yeah, you can hide your defense that much more. Especially these young guys, they're not going to be able to do that. A rookie's not going to come in and be able to play corner, safety, nickel. They're going to put a guy in a spot and help him learn the defense and get good at that one thing. So unless it's a free agent that we pick up, the young guys, I think it's going to be real hard to play multiple positions.
Fair enough. Do you think I know we've talked about in the past of Derwin playing in different positions, but you're limiting his playmaking ability. Is he at least a type of player that if you were to ask him to play different positions and play them well, is he one of those kind of characters that could do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Derwin's the Swiss Army knife. He could do everything.
Very good. As we've mentioned before.
He's like, it's like if you have Derwin James healthy, what's the point of having six safeties? You have like four in the one guy.
There you go. Great point. Why bother six when we've got one combo right here?
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Coach, for taking a look at that question. We move on now to Fan Focus.
All right, guys. Fan Focus time. We're doing this right after the Chargers made their pick. This is the most amazing time to do a Fan Focus. I love it.
I'm alive.
We did it. We got Kyle from North Carolina, also known as YNWA Dad. What's up, man?
What's up, dude? How you doing?
I'm doing so good right now. How are you doing? Look, before we get into anything else, pick, like, what do you think of Rashawn Slater? Like, how crazy is it that he fell to us?
Dude, I can't even believe it. I've been texting my friends nonstop. I'm like, we got the best offensive lineman in the draft. Like, I want a Penei Sewell, but like, short of that, like, I cannot even believe that we fucking Rashawn Slater. We didn't even have to trade up or anything. We have all our 9 picks. It's going to be a wonderful draft where we're fucking like stocking up everywhere. And we got somebody who's like arguably as good as Penei Sewell. Like, it's the best case scenario. I'm fucking over the moon. I can't even believe it, dude.
No one had him falling to us. Like, everyone wrote that idea off months ago because there was no way he was going to come to us. And he got to us. And now we are set. We're so set at left tackle.
Yeah, Rashawn Slater is going to be our dude for the next. And like, dude, did you hear like the interview he did after like we drafted him? And they were like, so man, you got Justin Herbert as your QB. Like, what's your goal? He's like, I'm going to protect him. Like,
I love it so much. It gets me so fired up. I just want to run through that wall right now. Just give me I'm so ready for this season. I'm so pumped. I'm just cloud 9 right now. So let's walk it back. Let's find out more about you, man. How did you become a Charger fan? Like, how did this happen? You're in North Carolina. How did you become a Charger fan?
Okay. So I've had a pretty wild journey as a Chargers fan. Like, my life is like my friends giving me an inordinate amount of shit for the teams that I like. So my dad was in the military. So like, we were moving every like 4 years. So, and my teams reflect that. So I got into college basketball when I lived in North Carolina. So I'm in North Carolina, and I went to UNC actually eventually. So I'm a North Carolina Tar Heels fan, but I'm also a Chargers and Lakers fan. And also, like, my dad rooted for the Red Sox growing up, and that was before they had won the World Series in 86 years. Yeah. And I watched my dad like throwing shit at the TV, being miserable. And I was like, shit, I think I got a root for this guy. He's so fucking miserable all the time. So like, I became a Red Sox fan. So like, my teams are all across the board because I lived in different places. But I was born in San Diego. And so I was born in San Diego Naval Hospital because my dad was in the Navy. When I was like 7, 8 years old, I think it was like 90, it must have been 94. Yeah, I was born in 87. I was like 7 years old. And I said, hey, dad, like who's the, I know you love the Pat. My dad's a diehard Packers fan. I was like, who can I root for in the NFL? You love the Packers so much. Who can be my team? And he was like, well, you were born in San Diego. You should root for the Chargers. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. And I watched him and I fell in love. First love of my life was Junior Seau, dude.
Yes.
I watched him that whole season and up to the point where he stopped the Steelers on the goal line in the playoffs.
Yeah.
This dude is incredible. Like, this is what is so awesome about sports. Like, oh my God, like, this dude is everything. Like, he became my idol so quickly. There's a picture of me 8 years old holding up a Junior Seau jersey and running through the house being so excited. Like, awesome. That was the first best Christmas gift I got, was that Junior Seau jersey, that 55 jersey. And like, so that was how, and like, I was born in San Diego, so that's how I became a Chargers fan. And then like, the journey got really weird once, like, after LT had retired and the Seau story came out. I was devastated, dude.
Yeah,
like,
it was
it was just hard in a way that was difficult to like explain in words to my friends. I know this is the shamelessly positive podcast, so I don't want to go too dark, but like, dude, like, I was just heartbroken.
Yeah.
And
as a lot of fans were.
Totally. Like, and especially like, if that was like your first love, like if that brought you to the Chargers, like, it was hard for me. Honestly, I stopped watching the NFL for 3 or 4 or 5 years. Like, I just couldn't. It's just too much for me. Like, I love this team, but it was too much to like overcome, you know? So like I stopped watching for 4 or 5 years. And then last year, the NFL draft happened, and I knew the Chargers were going to take a quarterback. And it was almost like I'm married, happily married now. But if I was single and like an ex-girlfriend came along, I was like, God damn it. Like, I was like, I still love it, you know? Like,
Yeah.
And so I followed it super closely. And I, of course, like everybody, I wanted Tua over Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Boy, was that f-ing stupid.
We were wrong.
We're so wrong. And so we got Justin Herbert. And then I watched him his first game. And I was like, what the f-? Justin Herbert's in. And then, of course, he killed it. And then he killed it the whole season. And I was like, I'm back in.
So. Yeah, you're back. We pulled you back in.
Yeah.
I love it.
100% pulled back in.
All right, dude. Kyle, thank you so much for coming on, man. We really appreciate it. It was great meeting you. We love interacting with you. And we really appreciate your time, brother.
Yeah, dude. You too. I look forward to the draft episode. And K-Love you, bye.
K-Love you, bye, brother.
You never walk alone.
You never walk alone.
Hey! All right.
YNWA Dad.
Thanks for coming on, buddy. Thanks for bringing the energy, too. That's awesome. Yeah, boy, getting Rashawn, I mean, that was pun intended, electric.
It was electric. It was fun because, like, we were supposed to do it later, and I was like, dude, you want to do it now? Like, I'm pumped. Mm. You're pumped. You want to do this interview now? And he's like, yeah, dude, let's go.
Maintain that energy.
It was palpable. It. Yeah, so thanks for coming on.
I like it.
Kyle, we appreciate it, man. And, yeah. Stay in touch, YNWA Dad.
Yeah, and glad we got you back. Glad you're back over in our, you know,
back in the
our
fold.
Territory. We're, yeah, with we, we'd love to have open. You, buddy.
We're home, at home.
Excellent. All right. Well, now we move on over to our fifth Beatle. As we've mentioned before, it's time for the Craig Experience.
Come on in, man. Kick your feet up.
Craig.
Hello there.
Make yourself at home. Got some stuff to talk about, right? Moving on.
Who likes emotional roller coasters? Well, apparently Chargers fans, CC gang, big salute, the rest of the Bolt fam. What is going on? It's your guy Craig in Texas. And yes, I am still in Texas, just at the beach, near Mexico, though. It's really beautiful out here. So I was able to take in the draft weekend and get some sand and sun in my life. So that was pretty cool. Man, what a ride that was from the first round all the way through. And speaking of the first round, wow, we really had Rashawn Slater fall to us. But not just Rashawn. We backed that up with another guy that the majority of us love that we thought had no chance of falling to us. ASJ, Asante Samuel Jr. in round two. And man, it just got really interesting from then on. Not necessarily bad. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. Some of the middle picks and the later picks and why a lot of it makes sense. And maybe why, if some of you don't necessarily understand the rationale behind it, I can possibly make it a little bit clearer. But, you know, first round, bang, bang, Rashawn Slater. We know exactly what that is. Arguably OT1 in the draft. And it just kind of depends on what you think coming out of the gate. You know, Panay is who he is. And he's going to develop into maybe a generational type offensive tackle, Hall of Fame type guy. But we don't know that Rashawn Slater won't be the same guy. His ceiling may not be as high, but he's coming out extremely technically refined already. And I compared it to this. You could either have your Porterhouse now, Rashawn Slater, or you could have your Tomahawk later, Panay Sewell. So just depends on what your patience level is like and what your team needs right now. And I think Rashawn is perfect for what we need right now in turning this offensive line around, which has now been completely revamped with the exception of Brian Bulaga. And hopefully he can stay healthy next year and we can see some dividends paid from all those offseason pickups. So, man, ASJ, Asante Samuel Jr. I mean, it's like having Derwin James happen twice in the same year. You have Slater happening, which no one saw coming. And then you have ASJ happening, which we felt probably even less likely about. Now, it just depends on who you talk to. But, man, we're talking about arguably the best tackling cornerback in the draft. And forget the 5'10", 180-pound frame. The dude plays like a 6'2", 220-pound box safety. I mean, he has the heart of one. We're talking about having no fear. Doesn't matter who he's up against. It could be the fastest guy on the field, the tallest, the biggest, the toughest. Doesn't matter. He is a DAWG. And it's like I always say, something you can't coach. You either have it or you don't. And he's got it in spades. And, you know, just looking at what that means for our defense across the board, it's going to be scary for teams in the AFC West and throughout the league. So definitely looking forward to it. But when we're talking about some of these other later picks, we get into the mid rounds and you get to pick three and you see Josh Palmer's name pop up. And I will be the first to admit I'm guilty. I didn't do a bunch of homework on Palmer. I knew who he was. I just didn't see him as an option. And honestly, I didn't spend a ton of time on him. I mean, I've seen him flash in a couple games. I didn't watch any specific tape on him. I know that he did work at the Senior Bowl. Just didn't see him as a fit for the Chargers. But I guess when thinking of what could potentially happen with Mike Will after next year, probably should have been more of a consideration. So, you know, you got the size, the route running ability. He's really good at the top of routes, breaking guys off there. And that's how he creates separation. He's not a burner, which is what I wanted. And guys, a lot of you get at me on Twitter about what I mean when I say a burner. I'm not talking about a regular 4-3 run down the field guy who can stretch the field and get over the top of the defense. I'm talking about a twitched up game breaker. Someone who could take a screen pass, slant, anything short, and is a threat to take it to the house on any given touch. We still don't have one of those. But guess we'll make do with what we have, and we'll see how the offense develops with the pieces that are in place now. But Palmer's probably Mike Will insurance. So we'll see how that turns out, what kind of run he gets in the offense next year. But I'm sure the guy will be fine. And Trey McKitty. I know the majority of you guys don't like the pick, and some of you weren't sure who he was. But if you did also pay attention to the Senior Bowl, you'll see that the guy has game. I understood the pick. I actually like Trey McKitty. He was kind of my consolation prize if we didn't get Tommy Tremble. He's another one of those, I will call him like three-tool tight ends. You got your inline, H-back ability, and, you know, somebody that you can kind of get on the move a bit as well. And guy's a good athlete. And if you look back to when he played in, 2019 at FSU, when he had DeAndre Francois as his QB, the guy looked like he was on the come. And, you know, he showed his athleticism, his ability to make big catches. But then Francois had some issues. I believe he got hurt. McKitty transfers over to Georgia, and their QB situation was a complete mess. But for me, I get why the pick was made. He's also a very good blocker, which, you know, was something that was a need for the team. So with that kind of said, it makes sense to me because the tight end run started a little bit earlier, which probably pushed him up the board. And since they were looking for a guy in that mold, they had to take him where they could get him. So that's the rationale behind that. As far as a lot of the other picks, you know, we can tackle those moving forward and kind of talk about, you know, what makes sense and why they will fit on the team. And I mean, I really like that guy, Nick Neiman, that we were able to pull off in the sixth round. I like his athleticism. He's probably going to be really heavy duty special teams contributor, but he has the athletic profile to be a player if developed later on. And I really like him in pass coverage. So that we kind of bounced around a bit, a couple other guys that I didn't get to. But, hey, I'm out here enjoying life, and I want to hold you up, so let me get back to the sand. Fellas, talk to me a little bit about who your favorite pick was. Also, maybe where some question marks come in regards to picks that you don't necessarily agree with. And, you know, hey, Coach, if you have any logic to back up some of the other picks that are confusing the folks, feel free to chime in, man. As always, though, appreciate you guys. Whole gang, it don't bang. Okay. Love you, bye.
Craig.
Thanks, brother.
Awesome, man. Dude, I mean, great points on the picks. I mean, you're talking us through some of these emotions that we were feeling as we were making some of these picks. And boy, looks nice where you're at, man. I mean, you've got the gun show tickets going. I mean, you must be handing them out, man.
Tickets to the gun show. Tickets to the gun show.
Yeah. I'm going to go to the bathroom. It's that way. All right. Well, some of the picks that that we really liked. I mean, obviously, we all liked round pick one and pick two. Were there any picks that stood out to you guys, like as we picked them? I know some for a while it was a little confusing, but in retrospect, was there anything that jumped out to you guys as far as who we've picked up?
I really dig the Chris Rump pick. I was really concerned that we weren't going to get a quality rusher in this draft, and by all accounts he was one of the top guys last year that somehow fell to us in the back of the fourth round. So that one really got me excited. Just adds more depth and, you know, more getting after quarterbacks, which is what we desperately need, and make this defense amazing.
Yeah, I think that my favorite, Rashawn Asante, I think Asante Samuel is my most excited pick because he's so fun to watch. Rashawn, hopefully you don't ever hear about anymore. You know, like, I don't want to see him getting beat. I just want to see him pass setting and stopping people. But Asante Samuel is fun to watch. He's just so electric. But other than the top two, the Brendan Hamey's pick, are any linemen from Nebraska, I'll be excited about.
Big time, yeah. For those that haven't checked it out on social media, Chargers posted Hymus doing his, the vertical leap?
The box jump.
The guy's jumping, yeah. The box jump. Good Lord, how can he get his feet that high? I mean, it's, I know, explosive. That's not a big... I guess so, yeah. I mean, it's not a necessary skill when you're a lineman, but just to see him that capable of doing it is pretty impressive. So the guy absolutely seems
underwear
like
Olympics, baby. You gotta
love it. I mean,
stuff to make yourself look cool.
Next, he'll be juggling chainsaws or something like that. I'd be like, wow, that's what a great pick.
Wow, hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, for me, I think the Nick Neiman, it would be the big pick for me. Just watching his tape, the guy just seems so explosive. And just vicious. I mean, but it feels like a lot of our defensive guys that we're picking up are just super fast, really aggressive, and just taking people down, like
DAWGs.
Yeah,
like Craig said, some dogs.
So absolutely. So yeah, again, retrospect, this looks like a great draft class, and I'm anxious to see Craig break down some of these other guys that we just didn't really get a chance to learn about. So thank you, Craig.
Thanks, brother.
All right, folks, now it's time for Ask Bolt Fam. And geez, I feel like this one might be a record for all of you guys. I mean, draft questions, you know, it's all about who we going to pick. Now it's like, there's going to be a lot of like, who do you think about who we picked?
And so, I love it. The excitement level's off the charts right now for Chargers social media. I love
it. Big time. Yeah, no, I love you guys reaching out and talking to us because it creates chat. Which is what this is all about. Charger, wow. A chat.
That's what we do.
That's right. And there's some new faces here with some fantastic names. We started off with I'm allergic to jerks. Who asks the question?
We all feel really good about our top two picks, do we not? Hoo-ah! But who, if you had to say, will be the biggest surprise hit to the other seven picks? Hoo-ah! I'm Al Pacino, double fuck the Raiders! K, love you, bye! Hoo-ah!
Oh my God, I love that. It's like a staple. Okay. One person's got to say, Raiders. Yeah.
There's always got to be one. Always got to be one. So thank you, I'm allergic to jerks, for being the one this week and starting us off with some great energy. So biggest surprise hit of the other seven picks. If we had to pick, I think we're all pretty much on
it's
it.
You back know. Into that other one. I'm Chris Rump again. That's the guy that, like, it's exciting. I'm outside of the top two that are like just over the moon about. I like the pass rushing ability. And then, I'm excited for him.
Yeah. Rump for Huggin, Hymus for Coach, and Neiman for myself. I think those guys are going to be great talent. I'm looking forward to practice, seeing some of these guys playing in practice and actually seeing them do the things that they're going to do. So it's exciting. So thank you, I'm allergic to jerks. We move on to Marijuana Myler, who asks the question,
who is the podcast favorite pick, or who did you wish the team would have taken?
Sorry, that robot was a little overloaded there. Favorite pick, I think Rashawn Slater is easily everybody's favorite pick.
Hands down.
And as far as the one that I wish we could have taken, I really wish we could have gotten Quinn Miners, man.
Yeah, I know. I got on the hype train for Adam.
And then they picked him immediately after us. The Broncos picked him
The Broncos picked him. Yeah,
it was just like,
that was kind of a bummer.
Because that was the thing. It was like, not only could we have had him, but he was taken right after, and now he's a divisional rival.
It sucks.
Like,
yeah.
God dang it. Like, what? So, yeah. I hope he does well against everybody but the Chargers. I hope he just has terrible days against the Chargers.
I was kind of pulling for Tommy Tremble. That was the one where he was there and we didn't take him. And I was like, why? But that's what it is.
Yeah. He was on the board when we took McKitty still. So yeah, that was unfortunate. Thank you, Marijuana Milo. We move on to Orgasmo 3000. Who asked the question?
In a world where you're only as good as your last winning season, one team has a new head coach, a new stadium, and a new O-line. Which O-line player, drafted or undrafted, other than Rashawn Slater, do you think will make the biggest impact come week one?
I don't think any of them will.
None of them will be playing. I think there's like, you know, the Brendan was a great pickup, and that's, you know, for depth. But I think you're looking at your starting offensive line, unless something crazy happens with one of those guards. Who knows? I think you have your starting offensive line right now, and then you just got support.
I mean, do you guys see O'Day starting over some of these other guys that we picked up? Or do you think there's going to be some competition in camp as far as trying to figure out who might be playing in that guard position?
Well, there'll definitely be competition because there's still guys that we had on the roster that are around. So
true. We still have Questenberry. We still have Pipkins. So those are still competitive other players that could be fighting for some of those spots.
Yeah, so there's going to be competition. I just don't think one of the undrafted guys or any fifth-round pick should start day one or week one of the NFL season.
That wouldn't be an ideal scenario.
No.
Well, there you go. There you go, Orgasmo 3000.
3000. I want to meet 1000 and 2000, too.
Is this like, are these Terminator rules? Is this like the third iteration?
Are you the liquid metal Orgasmo? Real sexy.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, dun. Orgasmo.
All right, let's move. Before I could have taken that so many different ways. Let's move on now to Lavish Syndrome, who asked the question.
I'm thinking Telesco might be more willing to give guys the fifth year based on Mike Williams getting it and keeping it even after Staley was brought in. What do you think Tillery has to show for his options to be picked up?
He's got to make plays.
He's got to be like, consistency. You need him to be consistent. He has been all over the place. He had two great games to start last year, and then he just fell off the map. I don't know if that was scheme or what, but just he's not consistent yet enough to really step up and get
he keeps being like the filler for injuries and holes, and they pop him around. He plays here and then he plays there. I'd like to see him get comfortable in a position and like have, like Kevin said, some consistency. Putting him in that defensive tackle spot, let him play there and let him get that pass rush that he's supposed to be from the inside.
Yeah. Make plays, and then we'll look at picking up a fifth year option, buddy. But great question. Thank you for asking it, Lavish Syndrome. We move on to Okie Doggy, who asked the question.
The Chiefs scum managed to add some very good players to their roster through the draft and through a trade. It should be illegal for them to get any more good players. At least I can laugh at the incompetence of the Raiders for drafting yet again another ridiculous reach in round one. But enough about them. My question for you guys is from the players we got that were undrafted free agents. What player/players do you see having a chance at making the roster so we can continue to add successful undrafted free agents to our collection?
I'm out of the undrafted guys, I'm Forrest. Forrest Merrill, the defensive tackle out of Arkansas State, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Just a big boy. Just a big, taking on double blocks, clogging up the middle. Like, he's just a powerful dude. So it's kind of crazy how these guys can get evaluated and some are undrafted and some are drafted. Like, I just don't quite understand it. But this guy, it seems like, we lucked out in him wanting to come to us.
Yeah, I'm thinking... I'm thinking Kessman. I'm thinking Kessman might be that kicker that could possibly be that piece that we've been missing for at least the past year.
We just want to solve our kicking woes. That's all we need right now.
Our special teams, especially on both sides, like, just needs to get better in general. And kicking, I mean, we got to put points on the board. If we're missing kicks, we are losing out on points that could be well, the difference well between put. Winning and lost.
Yeah.
So, we have been pretty lucky in some of those undrafted free agents becoming pretty big playmakers. We'll see if that continues this season. Thank you, Okie Doggy. We move on to Steph Locke, who asked the question.
Will they make a trade before the start of the season? If so, what will they address?
I think safety is going to be that position that they're going to be looking at more than anything else, right?
I don't think they're going to trade, though. I think it's going to be a free agent. I may be wrong, but it doesn't feel like we need to go out and do a whole bunch more with the roster we have. Yeah,
I think the trade would have happened if we didn't get Rashawn in the first. We had no tackle to start day one. But I think that with us filling the two biggest holes, corner and tackle, with day one starting type guys, I don't think a trade is necessary, whatever we might have to give up. So
there you go. Thank you, Steph Locke. We move on to No Shoes You Lose, who asked the question.
Hey, I got a fever, and the only prescription is more defense. The offensive line got a lot of love. Every position of need was addressed in the draft. I think now we still need to look into depth at corner and safety. Maybe another guard or another edge defender. What are our biggest remaining holes after this draft? And which of the new undrafted free agents could make an impact?
Well, folks, get ready for us to start sounding a bit like a broken record. I think our holes were, safety seems like an opportunity and maybe even defensive tackle. And as far as guys making the team, I think it's going to be possibly Forrest Merrill could have that big impact, possibly Alex Kessman. But
Vizcaino the Volcano, who knows? There's a lot of guys.
It could be Vizcaino, absolutely.
Out. So, yeah, I think you definitely need to, try and beef up. If you're going to go after some free agents, go beef up that secondary wherever you can. It's a little more experience. Yeah. Something like that. That makes the most sense to me, at least.
Excellent. Thank you. No Shoes You Lose. We move on to Kanyeezy, who asks the question.
Whoa. What's up, my fellow board waxers? I'm pretty f***ed up this morning after a long night of lightning bolts. I mean bowls under the moon with my dudes after nabbing Asante in the second. Cha. I think somebody sprinkled some beach sand in there, though. Anyway, I think I love the draft picks, baby. In Staley, we trust. I trust my toes to lead me through the tube. One question for my favorite brothers. Is there anyone selected after Slater that you wouldn't have been mad at if Tommy T and Brandy Steez had drafted instead of Rashawn Slay? Still available, but we choose someone else at 13. Or would you be pissed as f***? Or would you be pissed as f*** if we had drafted anyone but Slater with him still on the board? Anyway, I might die from smoking beach sand last night. Willie D, you the man, bruh. Coachy Kai, you explain football like you're singing a lullaby to my little kahuna. It's beautiful. And Kevy Huggy, we need to light a joint and rip some tide. K, love you, bye!
Dude,
that's the best one.
What a script. What a my goodness. Written
this
script.
This scene brought to you by Kanyeezy.
That was so good. I'll just jump into it right away. I can't, I don't want to change anything about what we did in the first round. There's no one I wanted, besides Penei, obviously, wasn't going to be available. Like, this is it. This was the dream scenario. So I couldn't be happier. I wouldn't hop in my DeLorean, go back and change anything. Zero. Don't need anything. I don't need you, Doc. I don't need you to take me back in time.
I think I would have thrown my microwave out the window if we picked up Leatherwood or Quiddy Pay with Rashawn Slater.
Where's the microwave? God damn it.
Well, because I got to break this window. I'm not going to break it with a shoe. I need something heavy that's going to do so. It's going to go through. So, microwave through the window.
I think I killed that Mista lady.
Mista.
Oh, so, yeah, there would have been some pretty upset Charger chat hosts if we would have picked up anybody but Rashawn Slater.
Pretty bad.
That would have been a bad scene. But hey, thank you, Kanyeezy, for asking the question and writing just a delicious script, man. That was so just perfect. All right, we move on to WPG Charger, who asked the question,
do you
think drafting Josh Palmer in the third is an indication, Mike Williams, we'll be looking for a new team next year?
Possible.
You're
maybe
the thing is, I don't think it like makes him expendable now because we didn't even know who Palmer was. So that's a slightly different tier of receiver at this point. But you got to prepare for the future. You don't know what's going to happen. You need to have those guys right on your roster. So if you can have him a year behind Mike, behind these guys learning, great. And then you can evaluate then. Who knows? Maybe Mike goes off. We love him. We bring him back. That could still happen. 100%.
Yeah. That's the toughest thing about the draft, that it's hard to, you want to pick, like, let's just pick all the best players, fill all our holes for right now. But we've said it at least like 25 times before today, but now today I say it and you get all giggly and stupid on me.
You're tickling me. Tickling my funny bone.
But you have to look at the future. You have to be prepared for those situations of possibly no Mike Will, possibly no Keenan Allen. So who are you going to have? Who are going to be our top wide receivers? And as much as I love Guyton and T. Billy, we need to make sure that we're successful in the future. So picking up a third rounder and a wide receiver like him, who apparently from accounts from many people is a steal, might as well, you know, use that pick on something as an assurance, and if anything, just to be great depth for the future. And nothing wrong with having more targets for Jay Herbo. That's for sure.
Agreed.
The guy could throw it to anybody. Thank you, WPG Charger. We move on to movie fan Z5026, who asks the question,
is this a Mike O'Brien season for Adelaide? I feel he needs to have a Pro Bowl-type season to remain on this team after next season.
Yeah, he's got to be more consistent. He has to have a better year. But I don't think he has to be a Pro Bowler to stay on the team. You have guys around you that are so good that he just needs to not blow big plays. Like, his open field tackling needs to improve a lot, and don't let anyone over the top. As long as he knows those things, I think it's serviceable on the defense, and he's still a very cheap option. He's on his rookie contract, not a first-round guy. So if he does a good job, if he's middle-of-the-pack NFL safety, I don't think there's any reason why he's not on the team next year.
Excellent. Thank you, movie fan. We move on to Touch of Phallus, who asked the question.
How was the bachelor's party, fellas? that was good.
How you doing over there? Update. Where are you guys at right now?
So we started in Tahoe for a two-day party. Now we're in Vegas for a two-day party. And as you can tell, we're on our last day. And, you know, we got vibes going on.
A little tired
eyes.
Yeah,
a little tired eye vibes. But it's going great. We've had so much fun. Did some Top Golf yesterday. It was pretty dope.
Nice. Very good. And you guys placed a bet down, I saw on Twitter.
Put a hondo down on the Chargers to win the Super Bowl. And
Baby.
Pays $3,000 because I feel like the more we go, those odds are going to change. So I wanted to lock in my bet right now. And
that's perfect.
Get my money. Give that man his money.
Give these men their monies, please.
Their monies, please.
All right. There you go. Thank you, Touch of Phallus, for checking in on my brothers. We move on to Z the King One, who asked the question.
Who do you think, if anyone drafted by the Chargers after Samuel, will actually get playing time?
I think special teams. You have a whole brand new young special teams course. These guys are a lot of these guys are going to be on the field. We increased our killing power on special teams is what we did. We have faster, more dynamic, you know, athletes that can go mess people up and get our special teams where it needs to be.
Yeah, I think Chris Rumpf has a shot to play a little bit this year too.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely have a need at that edge position. I think he's exciting. He plays, he has fun. And I think that that's what they want on the team. I think another thing I noticed about Rumpf when I was watching highlights is he had that C captain patch on his jersey. Mm. Seems like that's what Tommy T is all about, is trying to draft those captains. Also, weird stat of this draft, we didn't draft anyone from Notre Dame.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah, no Notre Dame.
Swing and a miss.
That just added to the confusion of not picking up Tremble when he's a Notre Dame alum. if he's so similar to Trey
Tommy
McKitty.
T going full ninja.
Full ninja,
yeah,
never
just,
know.
Yeah, so it no Notre Dame, even in undrafted free agents, no Notre Dame folks. So we'll see how it goes. Maybe what if that's the thing that's been holding us back, is that we've been drafting Notre Dame guys, and yeah, that's what's holding us back from winning. We'll see what this year can bring. So thank you, Z the King One. We move on now to Ryan Toledo, who asks the question,
who do you guys think were the biggest misses that were still on the board in rounds 3 through 7?
Miners feels...
That's usually a good sign when the next person picking takes him. That's usually a sign you kind of might have missed on that opportunity. I kind of was pulling for you, Bulldog. I wouldn't have minded having him.
Yeah, believe me, I'm ecstatic to have Rashawn. And you know, great that we picked up Brendan Hymus as well. But man, Miners, I just feel like would have been such a great addition to that line. And again, looking at the future of what this team is going to need in the future, I feel like that could have just really helped us out, because we've just had so many offensive line woes that, like, you couldn't, we've been talking about in previous podcasts, you can't have enough O-linemen on this team, and you need that depth and good depth. You know, we don't want a depth of all Pipkins, you know, sitting back there waiting to come into play, because that's just not going to get the job done. So if we could have had Miners, it would have been excellent, but is what it is. Thank you, Ryan. We move on to Bobby, aka Bozzy, who asks the question,
the first two picks were awesome and helped fill big needs, but I still think Tommy T's third round jinx haunted him a bit. I think our draft was really good, but what do you guys think? Who or what position or player would you have preferred? Love your podcast. Kay, love you, bye.
Like, I don't know. I won't say that this is jinxed. Like, the thing is, like, this kind of feels like a Keenan Allen pick, at least in terms of the Palmer thing. I'm not saying he's going to be Keenan Allen, but like a really good talent that is available there. Like, I'm just, because we don't know about him doesn't mean it's going to be bad. We need to give them time to get in and evaluate how they are, you know, what they think. By all accounts, everyone around really loves that pick. They love our draft. I'm on board. I love everything we did in this draft. Could we have shifted a couple things to get preferences? Sure, but I'm not building the roster. I'm not the GM.
So exactly.
In Telesco and Staley, I trust.
Yeah, I would have rather flopped our third round pick. So we went tight end at that second pick in the third round. I would have preferred, and not saying this is the right way, but I would have preferred to get Tommy Tremble with the first pick instead of Josh Palmer. And then with that second pick in the third round, being able to go with, I don't know, Quinn Miners was still there on the board when we picked. So if that third round, if we would have gone Trimble Miners, I think I would have been a lot more excited with the picks.
Yeah, you were when we did it, you were like, what happened? I just remember that vividly. Like, what is going on in this third round? It's so bizarre.
Yeah, it wasn't what we were. I mean, we got spoiled with those first two picks.
We called them.
Guys that we called. Yeah,
yeah, we were on fire, and then it
right. We were ready for this draft to go the whole way of checked it, and it just didn't. And once it got to the third round, that wasn't necessarily the case. But it's hard to call it a jinx until we actually see these guys play, because these guys could come out and be explosive and be big talent. Yeah. But we don't know, because we haven't had a chance to see them play. So give it some time before we start calling it a jinx or anything like that. But I can understand that their needs and their choices didn't necessarily line up with ours past third round. The fact that the first two rounds did is amazing. That happened. Like, that doesn't always happen. It rarely happens, especially with the amount of people that were saying how many different names we could possibly get in the first and the second. For me to see that Rashawn Slater and ASJ were those first two picks is astounding. So I think let's keep calling this a win until proven otherwise. But thank you, Bobby, for asking the question. I think it's a good question. We move on to Gnarly Ray Jepsen, who asked the question,
who do you guys think is going to be the biggest surprise out of the draft? I'm predicting Hymus to make a start midway through the season to cover injuries and not necessarily be a stud, but not be dominated by defenses.
Gnarly, why are you predicting injuries? Stop. Don't do that.
I mean,
Gnarly.
He's not predicting it, but
yeah,
given our history...
Given
our history,
he's probably on the money.
Yeah,
Yeah, I'll give him that.
But as far as biggest surprise out of the draft, there's no reason why Mark Webb can't be a big surprise. I mean, he's a seventh round pick. If he comes out and plays not just well on special teams, but, you know, if in those situations where we do need to reach into our depth and see who we've got, and Mark Webb is sitting there ready to go in, coach, puts on his helmet, goes out there and starts making plays, I think there's no reason why he couldn't be the biggest surprise. Excellent. Thank you. moving on
see.
To Ross. We move on now to Ross Morrow, who asked the question.
I feel like the picks on day three weren't exciting, but they will be a big part of the special teams unit. What do you guys think about picks 4 through 7?
Yeah, the one that kind of stood out is like, oh, I didn't really think we needed that was the Roundtree from Mizzou. But I, you know, other than that, these are all guys that are developmental, like we talked about all earlier. It's like they're just developmental guys that hopefully will play special teams and contribute. So I was perfectly fine with it. Was I thrilled about Trey McKitty instead of Tommy? No, I wasn't. Mm. But, you know, it is what it is. You can't get everything you want. You can't always get what you want.
What you want.
Sometimes you might find to get what you need.
I'm excited to see what Staley does with these guys. I'm excited for the possibility of him to unlock some of the talent on some of these later round picks. So let's withhold judgment until we see these guys play. I think it's exciting. I think this was a good draft. And so picks 4 through 7, while it's not what I necessarily would have picked, I got to trust the guys that are running the show to make the right choices. And so as far as I'm concerned, it was a stellar draft. So
great success.
Yeah. Great success. So thank you, Ross Morrow. Always good to hear from you. We move on to Coach Lago, who asked the question.
Are we stuck in the honeymoon phase, Herb and Staley? Or is the hype real this time? Things seem to be too good to be true, as they say. Damn it, staying shamelessly positive. Off-season hype is real. A la the Bucks.
Nice.
Boy, that was a blast from my 90s past. Man, yeah, Urkel. Jeezy, crazy. Well, Coach Lago, yeah.
I like the honeymoon. This is the best time because there's nothing you can criticize. You know what I mean? There's nothing, there's no tape of Staley and Herbert yet. So at this point, let's just enjoy the shit out of how perfect this currently is and just let's get rolling. We'll see what happens. It could be everything we hope, but at this point, the expectations are so high. It's going to be hard, but I think they could do it.
All right. We move on to Daniel Lawallen, who asks the question.
Hey, bros, I'm back. Whoa. Okay. My protein shakes. I was like way into the first two rounds draft picks, like solid. But then round three crushed my vibes again. Bro, it's sad. I have to just close my eyes and ears every year in the third. Luckily, we get the future Bro Jackson, Bro Montana in later rounds.
I didn't see a question mark in there, but dude.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I had the same feelings while watching the draft.
Yeah. Our feelings were gut reactions and just knee jerks of like, wait a minute. I don't know who that is. Who the fuck is that? Like, you bristle a little bit, but you know what? I think in retrospect, I think we're sitting pretty. So, just ride
that wave, Daniel. It's going to be all right, buddy.
ride it, bro. All right, let's move on now to Zach Marincik, who asks the question.
Just curious, if our mid and late round draft picks bust, would you consider putting Telesco on the hot seat? Slater and Samuel absolutely fell into his lap. He has proven year after year to be incapable of making good picks after the first few rounds. I don't hate Telesco at all. However, I think it's fair to hold him accountable. Every other team seems to be able to improve in later rounds, not just round one and sometimes two. Love the pod, Caleb Ebay.
I don't think this is necessarily fair because if I were the GM, I would have traded so much shit to go up and get these two guys. He was patient and he got who he wanted. Like, there's something to be said for that as opposed to selling third, fourth round picks to move up. So, you know, you might think they fell into our laps, but I think that was like patience. That was a good thing. That's a good attribute to have when you're drafting, because I'd be awful. We would have had like three picks and I'd have moved up to get somebody we could have already gotten.
Yeah, it does. He knows, he did his research and he knows what other teams want, and he's patient enough to sit there. I don't think that's a matter of, oh, it just fell into his lap. It's a, no, he had his plan and didn't reach too far to go get it when he didn't have to.
Right. Yeah, we don't know the amount of research that goes in for GMs and coaches when it comes to the draft and what their plans are and how they go about it. We just look at it after the fact. So I don't think he's necessarily in the hot seat just yet. No. I mean, again, looking
back, he drafted
Herbert.
He's fine for quite some time. Yeah, I'm not concerned about Telesco's, you know, where he's not going anywhere anytime soon, in my opinion.
I don't foresee that happening at all. Just keep bringing the lucky surfboard with you, pretty please. We move on now to Brian LaRoe, who asks the question.
Well, shoot, I live in Tennessee. I'm about 30 to 45 minutes from the University of Tennessee. Not a fan myself, but most of them really like Palmer. I watched his highlights and meh, but his Senior Bowl 1-on-1 drills get me excited. Wide receiver room is loaded. Who doesn't make the cut?
KJ Hill, man, there's some guys in this that we picked up late last year that we have too many wide receivers where there's just too much going on. Yep. And I think that some of them are good enough to be on other teams. So wouldn't be able to just stay on our practice squad. So
right.
KJ Hill is the one that kind of stands out to me right now that we picked up Palmer.
Yeah. KJ Hill was arguably the least productive last year. Joe Reed at least had some returning opportunities.
Got a touchdown.
Touchdown. So
it was helpful.
Yeah. So I think KJ Hill is probably that guy, which is crazy because looking at it last season, they were just like, oh my God, he fell all the way to 7. That's nuts. It's crazy. Chargers got him. But then like we didn't really get a chance to see much of him last season. So based just off production alone, KJ Hill's probably that guy. But thank you for asking the question, Brian. Appreciate it. Well, the next question, we love you guys, but you're all asking a lot of the same questions. So just quick shout out, Lucky Surfboard, Consciously Excited, Corey Emery, and Tonga. You guys are basically asking the question. It goes something like this.
Which undrafted free agent should we be excited about? I want names. I want answers. I want friends.
I'll go back to it. Forrest, Forrest, the big boy in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forrest, absolutely excited about Kessman. Just excited to have some more competition in kicker just so we can solidify that position. Ong Bong Bamiga, just because I want to say that name more often than not. So. We'll see how they start to shape out. But those are our initial excitement undrafted free agents. So thank you guys for asking the question. We just didn't want to repeat ourselves over and over again. Let's move on now to Simon Shum. Simon, hey, buddy, haven't heard from you in a while. How's Arnold doing? Let me ask him.
What's up, guys? Saw the video of both Kevin and Kyle reacting to our second round pick and felt really good. Where were you, old dog? Anyways, I am extremely worried about our lack of depth at the safety position. TT said Mark Webb will be playing more nickel than safety, so are we signing back Jahlil Adai? Adai?
Adai!
Adai!
I think it's a potential. I think the guy he's comfortable with the team. The guys like him in the locker room. I don't think that would be a bad pickup. It's probably not that expensive. Again, probably a one-year deal since he's still unsigned and can't really demand a whole lot right now.
Right.
So
yeah, that's gotta
there's
be a
potential
cheap
for that to happen. Absolutely. Yeah. I wouldn't be upset with Jahlil. I think it adds that depth, adds a little change of pace, safety position. Not a Pro Bowler, but gets some depth in the position.
And Wooldog wasn't there because he's not a groomsman in this wedding. But we would have loved if he could have been there.
Not this wedding. Next wedding, I'll be there.
So yeah, we'll get him in.
Whether I'm invited or not, I'm coming.
He's gonna be there.
I'll be crashing that wedding. So, but thank you, Simon. Great to hear from you. Glad you're doing well out there. We move on now to, I love this name, Herbs, and Burrs, who asked the question.
I got a question. Do you think Asante can be as good as his dad was? Dumb question. Just really want to hear this voice. Gilbert Gottfried, please.
I hope he's as good as his dad. I think there's potential if he keeps getting better and keeps working hard. His dad was a two-time first-team All-Pro, four-time Pro Bowler, won two Super Bowls. So, I'd be pretty pumped if he ended up working out like that.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
That would be amazing if he brings any of that kind of talent along with him or even gets better, you know, his dad. Let's shoot for five Pro Bowls and six Super Bowls. Why not? Sky's the limit. But thank you, Herbs. Herbs, and Burrs. Appreciate the question. We move on to Lord Journalism, who asked the question.
Do you wish we could have moved up to get Sewell, or are you excited with the results of this draft? We made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
I'm happy. If we would have missed out on a second, probably another third. So don't get Asante Samuel, but get Sewell. Nah, I'll take Slater, and I will absolutely take Asante Samuel.
Big time. Knowing that we got Rashawn, I'm glad we didn't move up. But if we would have missed out on both,
that'd have been a bummer.
Would have been pissed.
Yeah, that's a different question. If we missed out on both tackles, but having gotten Rashawn, we're right where we want to be right now. So thank you, Lord Journalism. Appreciate the question. And finally, we go out on Unanimous, who asked the question.
Sorry I bummed you out with my question two episodes ago, but just some observations. One, Coach is definitely a younger sibling, LOL. My younger sister makes the same faces when we tease her. Number two...
thank you for comparing me to your little sister.
In my head,
she's like a 12-year-old little girl. I don't know who she is, but...
Hey, no disrespect, you know, just an observation. Just want to let you know. Number two.
I know why Kevin put this one in there.
He's going to finish off with this one.
Number two, Greg is too damn big to be talking that damn smooth.
True.
I'm with you, Unanimous. It's not fair.
No. Number three, I could watch Huggins' pouty ass face all day long when he saw the Lions pick.
Pouty ass face.
Maybe that's the episode title. Pouty ass face. There you go.
Pouty ass face. There you go.
Oh, God. All right. And finally, number four. Boy, you guys are great. Keep up the awesome work. Being a listener from the beginning, so stoked for your success. All right there. Okay, you love you. Bye.
Thanks, brother. Yeah.
Thank you.
Completely agree, Kyle.
No, that's
12 years old and female.
And Kevin has a resting pouty ass face.
Resting pouty face.
But he loves to see it. A resting
He's got RPT. Or RPF.
Resting pouty face.
Resting pouty face. So excellent. All right, folks. That's it for this mammoth of an episode. Tune in next week. We'll have more stuff to talk about. Obviously, we're going to start seeing some of these players show up at the stadium and start working out with some of our other guys. It's going to be really exciting to start see this team take shape under Brandon Staley's tutelage. God, I can't wait, folks. This is going to be a good season. I already feel it. So don't forget, folks, to bolt up because we're ready for any squad, any place.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Okay, love you. Bye.
And now, a word from our sponsors. When you've just signed with the Chargers as an undrafted free agent, don't reach for some cheap beer to celebrate. Go for the good stuff. Ogbong Bamiga Tequila. Ogbong Bamiga Tequila is the only tequila with the Leslie O'Neill seal of approval. Tackle your celebration like a man. Ogbong Bamiga Tequila. Tequila, you can feel it.